One. Welcome back to Hoops
Woohoo!
HD, everybody. It is around 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Monday, March 10th. A week from now, less than a week from now, we are going to have a field. 6 days from now, we're going to have the field. But we're here to predict what's going to happen a week from now. 6 days from now. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We got David Griggs and Matt Sikowski up top here. Michael Cha in the middle square. John Salika and Joey Fortson to his sides. David Dorman down in the bottom row. This is our Hoops HD bracket rundown show. Where
excuse
we
me for a moment, Chad. I got a breaking update from our colleague, Zach Singer. We will have a Monday morning unveiling of the Crown Invitational as well.
I am sorry, guys. I apologize. Give me half a second here. I was running around getting set up, and I did not have this ready to go. But Stalika.
Wow, someone other than me getting buzzed.
It is time for the Hoops HD bracket rundown. And
yes, it is.
There's David Griggs in the not quite the real puppet bunker.
Yeah, that's not quite the real. A distant cousin, perhaps, but that's not me.
That's his cousin.
Similarities,
Danny Griggs. Danny Griggs. Yeah. How about a little Brian resume to start the show off before we even get to what's going on here?
Yeah.
Okay. I went.
Wow.
You know, clearly bubble teams, maybe below the bubble teams. I don't know. We'll see here. But I got two lousy resumes up here, but I've got to ask the question, which one's better, left or right, or do they both suck equally?
Both pretty bad.
And they're both – okay, Griggs' opinion is both pretty bad. Matt, I know you're studying them intently. Which do you like better?
Probably, I think I like the one on the right. You at least got the two quad one wins. Metric's pretty similar. They're like, I could probably maybe sort of hold my nose and take the team on the right, team on the left, man. Oh, for quad ones. Oh, for quad one and quad two, it hurts. Is that I don't see any tourney wins in quad two either. One of those are like, we're like sneakily, a team might be like a Creighton or UConn, who I think are technically a quad two home game, but they're really a quad one in how you normally would interpret it.
Joby, what do you think, left or right?
Both these teams are out. Both these teams are out. The one on the left doesn't even get a call. They're not in our top 55, I would imagine.
The one on the right
is in our top 55.
They're Virginia? Both
not in the field. How about that?
288 non-conference strength of schedule. That's another war.
Oh, thank you for noticing that. That is awful.
But are they both, Joby, are they both awful? Is the one on the right a little bit good at least?
No, the one on the right is close to awful too.
Okay. Does anybody think either of these conferences?
We can at least discuss the team on the right. How about that?
Yeah,
the left should just be thrown in the trash.
Joby, on the right's better.
Joby, be careful. One of them might be Virginia.
Yeah, well, Virginia should not be anywhere near the field, and I'm talking the NIT. So.
Does anybody think either of these teams is worth even discussing, or should we not even reveal them and just move
good,
on?
Good blind resume, Chad. Great way to start the show.
I was setting Joby up for a win here, and everyone's going to pick the team on the left. I thought that they were fairly close, that the one on the left was fairly
they
close
are,
to the one at the right.
Average.
Right. And I was making that case for you, Joby.
The right at least is in conversation. The left is not. The left is not in conversation.
The OAR, 51 and 52, they are close if you average it all out.
Yeah. Not that far.
Joby, if you want to change your opinion on the one on the right, one left being better than the one on the right, I will let you do it as I reveal the teams. Because the one on the left is a lousy SMU team, and the one on the right is a Mountain West team, Joby. This is your setup, and you failed.
Yeah, well, I hate to be this way. Boise is better than SMU.
Yeah.
I don't know that they are that much.
Chad, Boise made my 55. Did SMU make my 55?
They made a couple of 55s. They made a couple of 55s.
SMU has no
see another common
field.
Thread
That's
among these two teams here?
Right,
one at a time.
Somebody in the field. I mean – somebody. Yeah. I mean, SMU's strength wins. Their best wins are Stanford and Pitt. Come on. That's all.
The point here being I thought I was setting Joby up. It didn't work to say that, you know, I don't think that Boise State coming off of that loss is in good shape at all. I think the team's going to just – I'm having trouble, Sleek, at finding ways to get this team in the field. But maybe you disagree. Maybe you think they are. Sleeka?
No, I was just going to say you probably should have put Colorado State in here instead of Boise State instead of horsing around with a pair of horse mascots here.
Might have been even worse with Colorado State.
Yeah,
Let's see.
their win, their best
Well, they got that win at Boise.
State, I
Look at that.
At least Boise has Clemson in
Yeah, Boise
St.
has
Mary's.
two. Yeah, Boise beat two in the field.
Let's get to what we're going to do today, which is the bracket rundown for February 23rd, 2025. Let's fix that, first of all. We're doing the bracket rundown for March 10th, 2025. How about that? Okay. What we did was all of us here, as well as our colleague John Tytel, who might jump on before the end of the show, sent me the top 55 teams, regardless of conference. I cross-country scored everybody's ballot and came up with a consensus field, as of right now, from all the experts here and the puppet.
What?
And what I'm going to do is reveal for the top 16 teams one team at a time. We'll discuss them, go one line at a time after we get to the after we get through the four line,
Okay.
And then kind of have some debates and everything about what we did. For the first time in quite a while, we were not unanimous on the number one team overall. Matt, I got to
Okay.
call you out. You were the only person that did not vote our number one team number one.
I'm not surprised at that, but man, like, I think Duke's flat out the better team than Auburn right now. And I know Auburn has an overwhelmingly strong resume. Duke's ain't half bad either, but I think Duke's the better team.
Greg, you had a comment on that?
Oh no, I was just gonna say I'm gonna rattle off my number ones because while you're doing the reveal, I'm doing the line by line. I'm doing the other show's format.
I'm going to mute him soon. What do you think, Mike? What do you think about this argument that maybe Duke has surpassed Auburn right now? I mean, the pollsters all think they did. They also all think that Houston surpassed Auburn as well, which I don't agree with, but.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I mean, Duke was my second number one team, but in terms of the measurables, they don't they have not surpassed Auburn.
Serious comment. Duke has a case. They have a win against Auburn.
But
While
at
they don't
home.
have, yeah, they don't have as it was at home. I don't think it's totally outrageous, but what does it for me is Auburn beat Houston on a neutral floor, basically a road game, who's likely a one seed. They won at Alabama. Well, they lost at home to Alabama. They also went there and won, and Alabama is a one seed, and Iowa State, neutral floor, possible protected seed. Kentucky, likely protected seed. I mean, they just top out so much higher. I don't think I don't think Matt's completely insane for picking Duke because there is an argument. I just personally think Auburn is better, but it's not as if it's not worth a discussion. I'll listen to Matt's argument.
So look at those three predictive metrics. One, one, one.
And look at the three resume metrics on the
Yeah,
left.
look at the
One,
red. Look at
one,
one.
there you go.
Yeah,
There's the dichotomy. Is it
yeah.
the resume? Is it the predictive?
One's predicted. One's what have they
And put,
done?
here's the deal. If we're just selecting teams into the field, I would put Auburn in before Duke. Once you're in the field, once we're seeding them, this is where I'm seeding Duke before Auburn.
But
It's a
back,
predictive.
I'm also looking at the WOB now. One versus seven. I'm looking at strength of schedule. Two versus 60. There's so much more of these resumes that are neither resume nor numbers that are neither resume nor predictive that still go Auburn.
Well, and Auburn, this is the best quad one win total I have ever seen.
Yes.
If you just had Auburn and you only took their quad one wins, they'd have a winning record. I mean, that's insane. 16? That's just, I mean, it's this is not normal. And yes, the SEC is part of that, but the fact is they went through the SEC and won the SEC regular title. That is, I mean, this is one of the most sterling resumes I've seen ever. And
Well,
that,
Joe,
I
yeah.
mean, period. I know they have four losses, but this is just the weight of the games they've played are just, it boggles my
Well, one of the things you kind of got to ding them on here
mind.
is their non-conference strength of schedule was four times as easy as their conference strength of schedule. And I mean,
Let's
just
move on that note.
Yeah.
Number two, no surprise, was Duke. We just kind of discussed it. But Dorman, let me move on to you for number three. It was a team that came in number two in the polls today. That's Houston.
I agree with it completely. They are red hot. They went through the conference a really, really strong Big 12. Did not lose a game on the road. they put some nice wins together in the non-con. I have Houston ahead of the SEC teams that I believe are coming next.
Yeah, I'm not sure that anybody's ever won 19 regular season conference games before ever, because the 20 game conference season is fairly new in the last few years here. 19-1. Wow.
I can think of one that did. The Davidson team went 20-0 in the regular season.
Did they play a 20 game season that year? Okay.
Yeah, it was the double round run.
Didn't Duke do that too?
If you count conference,
year, yeah, 19 and one this year, yeah.
If you count conference
year,
tournament,
that's what I'm saying. Duke
did it this year also. Yes, thank you. Duke did it this year also. But Joby, I was talking about major conferences.
Oh. Absolutely correct, Jeff.
But in all seriousness,
yeah, let's keep talking Davidson then.
In all seriousness, at number four overall, let me bring you in here. It was Florida. I don't know that there was much surprise. There was maybe one person that thought there's maybe one puppet that didn't think Florida belonged up here, but I think the rest of us did.
I had Florida as number four.
You probably could have had Alabama knocking on the door just because they did get the win at Auburn on Saturday and get the road win exchange program between the top two schools in the SEC.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Griggs. You did have Florida as number four. You actually had Houston down the five line with Alabama on the one line.
So. Yeah, Houston down on the five line. I was just
down at number four.
Yeah, I had Houston a little bit low.
You did have them on the two line. That is too low. But go ahead and talk about Alabama.
Well, okay. I think that there's six teams that are one seed caliber and five that are very one seed caliber. What it was for me, the win at Auburn basically tipped it for me, because Alabama went to Auburn and won, and Houston played Auburn in a virtual home game and didn't win. And when you start to unpack the win at Kentucky and all of the quad ones, I think Alabama is a little bit stronger. And they also played a really strong out-of-conference schedule and had some success against that. But it's close. I can't get too mad about having Houston up there. I've had Houston up there for the last several weeks. I think I started putting them up there before anybody else did. And I would still pick them to beat Alabama if the two were to play again, because I think that they're better now than they were back in November. But if you're asking me to split, when I split the hairs and I see the win at Auburn and the win at Houston, and I realize both of those teams beat Houston, that's why I had Alabama up here.
Okay. So you ignore seven losses. I understand.
I ignored six of them.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on fire tonight. Yeah.
But I'm just trying to make sense of it. First of all, welcome John Tytel to the show here.
Woo!
John, we're just getting to the two line at number five overall. We do have the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I'm telling you, Chad.
You missed it. Chad told me I had Houston on the five line.
I'm going to give Tytel a couple seconds to jump to a little CAA sports for a couple seconds, and then we'll jump back in.
I mean, the Blue Hens story is really unprecedented. As a 12 seed, I've done some digging. As the puppet has pointed out, there have been 10 seeds who have made have gone all the way and won the title in the past. And we've seen teams win five games in 5 days, notably NC State last year in DC at the ACC tourney. But we're really in uncharted waters here, I think. I don't know if they're going to do it, because both Charleston and UNCW, frankly, are better teams playing in the other semifinal as we speak. But, you know, Towson was the better team. William Mary's, they're getting it done. It's a team effort. Last night, it was John Camden pouring in a career-high 36. Tonight, it was the entire starting five and a bench guy in double digits, everybody between, 10 and 17 points. So you can't just shut down one guy. Inglesby won the title 3 years ago in this conference. It's incredible. I hope their fans show up, because there was not a great showing tonight. Not that Delaware is around the corner from D.C., but, it really is a Cinderella story.
There we go. Jumping back to where we are right here. We just came in with the number five team overall, Alabama, we just discussed a little bit. In fact, because of that, let's just jump right over to the number six team overall as well here. And I'll ask you, do you have any thoughts on Tennessee coming in here at number six overall?
I must confess, I don't have many thoughts on anything outside of the CAA, but I'll do my best. Certainly, SEC is going to have bunch of top seeds because they're deserving. Look at all the tier one. Look at all the tier 1A. Look at the lack of bad losses. Predictive loves them. Defense, the best in the country. I don't know what more you could ask of a team. I mean, are they in the one? I assume they're in the one seed discussion at least, but it might require them to win the SEC title.
I think all six of these are. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a really interesting question, Griggs, though. Do you almost have to give a one seed at this point to whoever wins the SEC tournament just because of how amazing that's going to be to win the tournament?
I think if it's any of these four that we have in the top six, I think the answer is yes. If it's Kentucky or somebody who could, I mean, you know, I don't know that they'll do it, but if it's somebody else, maybe not. But if it's any of these four, yeah. Do you give it to A&M if they do it? Do you give it to somebody like that? I don't know.
LSU, anybody?
If LSU does it, yes, we're going to put them up. Yeah.
And I will interject with, this is where the should and will collide, because I just don't think – I think that the committee will have already made their decision by the time the SEC
– they'll make a contingency bracket.
I think contingency brackets are overrated, as stated, because in the past they haven't.
Yeah, they have.
They haven't executed on them. They have not. I mean,
no, you know. Yeah, because I think, I mean, I don't know about last year, but the year before they had like three or four to account for all of the games on the last day. So,
let's go on to number seven over here, Joby. Let me stick with you. Number seven overall, it is Michigan State, and this was pretty unanimous as well.
Well, and the only one who might have not had him seven was me. I have him six.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Sparty is on a flyer right now. They are hot. They're looking great. And they're not just winning. They're winning solid. Like, this is a team you do not want to roll up against right now. They won one of the top three leagues in a commanding fashion in the Big Ten. Sparty is someone, you know, hey, if their preseason, if they could have changed a little bit preseason, I think, you know, by not having the Memphis loss, and if they could have gotten out of the gates a little faster in the Big Ten, this could have been a one seed story like Houston, but because of how they're playing right now, they're not. You got to look at the whole body of work. They're a two. They're a set of a two. Even if they lost their first game in the Big Ten tournament, I think they're still a two.
All their wins lately have been quad one wins.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Joby. I considered moving them down simply because I don't appreciate what they've done to my social media feed. All of this kissing the midcourt and pushing you'd have thought that like a nuclear bomb had gone off the way people are reacting to that. It wasn't appropriate, but Jesus.
Well, Mike's Michigan players, you know, just getting away and everything of the. Let's move on here. Matt, let me go back to you for number eight overall. How about the Johnnies?
That's what meant.
Oh, good job.
They did not have a ton to play for last Saturday and still fought well. Marquette played pretty solid in that game. A little bad in the terms of the first half, but like overall played a pretty solid game. St. John still went there and won on our senior day and that. And so that for me doesn't quite lock up a two seed, but I think puts them in great shape to where, as long as they probably don't lose the first round of the Big East tournament, I'm keeping them in as number eight as a two seed.
Yeah, if they get to the second round, they'll be playing Marquette or Xavier, and that will not be a bad loss.
Yeah, a quick observation about St. John's. When going through and evaluating everybody, their profile doesn't top out quite as high as most of the rest of the protected seeds, but I still think that it's there. Eight true road wins, you know, a win against Bubble of 10. That's pretty close. An overall strength of record of 7. I mean, this is a team that I think is there. I'm glad you guys agreed, or somebody did, because we have them. I think I had them 8th or 9th. I don't know, but I had them way up here.
You had them 9th, actually.
Yeah.
You would have.
But this is about the right range.
yeah, that does conclude this two line. Mike, the team that a couple of you thought need to be on the two line ended up on the top of the three line. Was Texas Tech there? They're out in the West region.
Yeah, I mean it's really it was a close call for me between St. John's and Texas Tech. But St. John's is the outright Big East champion. Texas Tech, though, they're solid. They have a lot of quality away wins. You look at it right there. They got how many? Seven road wins against tier
Yeah.
one teams. They're rock solid, and if they end up winning the Big 12, and they could move up to a two. But right now, I have them as the best of the three.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. It depends on how deep they go because, Dorman, they are going to pick up lot better wins in the Big 12 tournament than I think St. John's will pick up in the Big East tournament.
Absolutely correct. If they win their first game, I know their second game would be possibly against Arizona, and then their road in the Big 12 is much tougher than St. John's will be in the Big East. I had Texas Tech ahead of St. John's by one slot. I went back and forth. It was just the accumulation of those tier one wins for the Red Raiders that got it over St. John's. But it's real tight. But I leaned Red Raiders as well.
And keep in mind, St. John's is playing at on their home court for the
Yep.
tournament.
Well, they're in their home building. It's actually not the
Yeah.
regular court, though. It's a different court they bring. Technicalities.
I'm also a big fan of regular season champs, and St. John's has that in the bag. Yeah, and
By
so
multiple
Texas Tech is
games.
with the same conference as Houston, but they were well behind Houston.
Right. And I'm kind of like, if they win the Big East tournament, all they've done is repeat what they've already done. And if they don't win it, then all it means is that they didn't do it for a second time what they've already done. I
Exactly.
think the Johnnies are right there, regardless of
Texas
what they do.
and Texas Tech beat Houston
Yep.
only team in
in the
the Big 12 to beat
conference.
Houston. Yep.
Oh, that's a good win.
So far. So far. Salika, number 10 overall. How about our fifth SEC team? Here's Texas A&M.
Well, this was a team that had actually lost four straight games at one point. Of course, they managed to redeem themselves quite considerably with a went at home against Auburn, so that can cure a lot of ills. And then they also get one more win to close out the season. So Uncle Buzz looks like whatever bit of a hangover they had towards the end of February, they're getting right at the right time here.
They're only third in the Southwest Conference.
We're going back to the old Southwest Conference standings
Yeah.
here. There we go. Tytel, if you're still with us here, how about another SEC team and Kentucky here also on the three line?
You like tier one wins, I think this is your team. As much as I prefer my Wildcats, I can't argue with Duke, Zags, Louisville, Florida, Mississippi State, A&M, Tennessee, twice, Vandy at Missouri. I mean, they check all the tier one boxes, all the road wins, all the neutral site, everything. They do have two tier two losses. I still can't believe Vandy's a tier two because Vandy's so
That
good.
actually just moved up to tier one, that Vandy loss. How about
Yeah.
that?
Love it. UCF, back when UCF was decent, maybe very early in the year, the opening night, I believe. Great defense, number seven in the country. J&J has him as nine, which I think is it is higher than the rankings, but I assume that's because the G&G likes all their tier one, but that's a Joby question.
Oh, okay. I got
Oh,
the
for
Oh, that's
the
Kentucky. I got
Aggies.
Kentucky on the right
I have
there.
the Aggies nine,
Yeah.
Kentucky
Sorry.
number
Nine.
12.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, long
both,
day, Chad.
I
Long
think that's real. I think they're
day.
both right. Yeah, hey, they're both third seeds, number three seeds. I think it makes sense. I will stand behind that.
Let's Joby, let me stick with you to finish out the three line. And this was pretty decent consensus, actually, believe it or not, still Iowa State.
Iowa State has gotten a lot of criticism, I would say, among people doing brackets and analyzing it over the last few weeks. But they still have a very strong resume that should take a lot of credit. We just heaped praise, for instance, on Texas Tech, deservedly so. Not many people go to Lubbock and get a win. I mean, that is up there. Yeah, we say, well, Alabama just won at Auburn. And the only, but as far as atmospheres go, it doesn't get tougher than Texas Tech and that one. And just good, solid away from home records. They've got a resume that speaks for itself. I like Iowa State here. Otzenberger's got his team. You know, they got back on track recently, and I think they nose out a lot of people who are on the four line who are clamoring for the three. But I think Iowa State is that team,
and they might be in a position to you know, end any questions if they can piece together some wins in the Big 12 tournament. So
yeah, and the teams they're competing with, a lot of Big 10 teams, I bet we'll find out, just aren't playing as well right now. Iowa State needed to turn it around. They did. They're there.
I do kind of find it. I just started laughing, Joe, because I'm looking at the seed list ahead here. I'm kind of cheating. And the next three teams are all from the Big Ten. And you just mentioned that they're going to be fighting Big Ten teams.
Now, one of those teams is playing well. I will give one of those three, but the other two are,
I think it's probably the third one that we're going to get to this play well. But, Mike, how about a team that's just coming off of a really, really weird loss? They start our four line. Oh. That's the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah, I had them as the 12 teams, so I don't have a problem with them being 13th. Yeah, before the shocking loss at home against Penn State, where they were leading by double digits in the first half, or was it early second half? But it looked like they were on their way, cruising their way to an easy win. But had they won and held serve, they might have been the last team on the two, maybe either that or the top team among the threes. But with that shocking loss at home to Penn State, they dropped significantly. Overall, they still have a solid resume. You see an Arizona win at Purdue. They have a solid resume overall, but that loss to Penn State is very puzzling, to say the least. And that's why they dropped to a four seed.
Well, here's the other puzzling thing now is now they lose the ability to play in Milwaukee because that loss. Now they got to fly across the country to Denver, which is not what Badger fans were hoping for.
Yeah, we just gave the Milwaukee spots to Kentucky and Iowa State back to back, which meant they were at 11 and 12. Interesting though, Salika, if Wisconsin wins the Big Ten tournament, is there still a path up here back down to the two line?
Oh, absolutely.
Three line.
Yes.
Well, except for the unlikely event that Iowa State and Kentucky also win their respective conference tournaments, but. Even then, I think Kentucky would probably go to Cleveland over Milwaukee in such a scenario.
Yeah, I'm just saying back up to the three line, regardless of where you're going.
How much for that 70-mile bus trip?
Matt, how about another Big Ten team here? How about the Purdue Boilermakers at number 14 overall?
Man, I thought for most of that Illinois game they were going to win it, and then Illinois finished real strong to pull it out, but still a good team. Yeah, they're playing better now. They had a little rough stretch, but yeah, you beat UCLA. You're very competitive against a top 30 level team on the road. That's nothing to be bad. I think a four is right where they belong with their overall body of work.
Yeah. And Dorman, how about one more Big Ten team here? And maybe this is one that Joby said was the one that's playing really well right now. Yeah. How about the Terps?
Yes, they are playing really well, real strong. They got their starting five. I take them up against almost anyone in the country. They are really talented, and different day, different guy steps up. If one guy's having a bad night or ice cold, foul trouble, the other four stand up and get it going for him. So I love the balance that Coach Willard has on this team. I almost think on the year, Maryland's a little underrated because they didn't come in with such the high expectations. But all they've done is compile win after win in the Big Ten. I think Maryland is in a real good position for the Big Ten and the NCAA tournament next week.
See, every now and then I get something right in the preseason. And this year,
yes, you did.
I get one team, yes, one team right, and only one team right. But we won't talk about some of my other picks.
my sleeper was Miami, and I was right. They're still asleep all year.
Griggs, it was a lot. It was pretty close for who got our final protected seed, our final number four seed. And it was, in fact, the Clemson Tigers that snuck in there. Do you agree with that?
Not quite. When you pull them up, I think that Clemson is good. In fact, I know that some people have spoken really highly of them. I thought I had them higher than what a lot of people would have, but I guess not.
You actually had them lowest of anybody.
Yeah, I had them 19th. So it's not like I had them two or three lines below, but yeah, I had them 19th overall, three spots difference. But As far as what sets them apart from a team like Arizona or, you know, Missouri or somebody else that we didn't put up here, it's they just don't have anything away from home to speak of by
I did.
protected seed standards.
I did pull up Titel. I pulled up your Arizona Wildcats against them because I think that that was the close call that was between Arizona and Clemson for the number 16 overall. Do you think your Wildcats should have been up there?
I want to say yes, but I can't. Clemson beat us a year ago, as a good friend reminded me the other day. Rocco on last week's show, in fact, and Clemson has the edge in conference record. They have the edge, not in the JNG. So that's another Joby question. Assuming I'm finally reading this one right, I'm just so underwhelmed by my boys. They play up to their level of competition occasionally by beating Texas Tech and the Cyclones, and then, Kansas State. You see all the tier one teams who are not going to make the tournament. And like, I think Hunter Dickinson just scored again against us because we couldn't stop him on senior night for him. It's just not our year, Chad. I hope I'm wrong, but I am not seeing it.
Yeah, Joby, what do you think about this debate? I think you would have it the other way.
I actually had Arizona. I like Arizona's strength. And gosh, am I lining myself with Griggs? He is exactly right. Three, not one, not two, but three away from home wins against the field. And as you will see, as you know, Chad, and what I've said already on this show in the past, that BYU win is really aging well.
Yeah.
Really aging well. And it's once again, just like Texas Tech, Provo's a tough place to win. Give the Wildcats a lot of credit there. And they won. Are you really going to punish them for the Kansas loss? I think that told me that Kansas had woken up more than Arizona deserving to be dinged off the four line. Clemson, sure. And this is where the ACC's weakness hurts them because they didn't get the opportunities, but they are playing well. This is an eye test thing with Clemson, but I just gotta go. Arizona is kind of easy on the eyes to a degree as well. So I'm going with
Let's go. We'll go one full seed line at a time now, Matt. Let me start with you. We show all four of the five seeds. Obviously, I already hinted at Arizona is going to be on this line. The other three teams with them, though, are Oregon, St. Mary's, and Michigan.
I like three of the four. Michigan, man, that still feels a hair high to me because they are not playing well at all. Like, it's not that they're losing games. You could lose whatever. They're getting blown out right now. And this is where it scares me, like the predictives, especially sort of this range where, like, I like some of these other SEC teams are there, or I love that we have St. Mary's, or that I can't remember exactly who I submitted last night on there, but I know I had Michigan, like, on the seventh line.
Yeah, you had Michigan two lines lower than this. Mike, is that how bad your Wolverines have fallen off? Do you think that Matt might be right and they could be more of a seven than the five seed we put them at?
It's possible because of the way they lost. Remember, if not for that triple by Nyami Burnett against Rutgers, they would have lost their last four. And two of the losses, they got blown out Illinois at home and then at Michigan State. I don't think they'll drop that far to the seven line, but it is possible that they flame out in the Big Ten tournament. I would say to be on the safe side to stay within the top five seeds, it would help to win at least one game in the Big Ten tournament.
Of course, it's
That's
also
going to be a
tough to
tough
call
game.
Purdue a flame out.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game with Purdue or Rutgers if they get hot for a minute. I agree with Mike.
Dorman, also on this line is a suddenly red hot Oregon Ducks. Yes, they needed overtime to beat Washington, but they've now won seven in a row.
Yep, playing good basketball again. This has been like a roller coaster season for Dana Altman's boys. They were hot, they were cold, they're back getting hot. I had them, I think, a slot higher or something than the rest of the group. But I agree with the
You had
bracket.
the you had them actually at 18, which is right where they fell
Yeah,
on our list. So yep.
right there. Yeah, I have no. I'm with you. I think this team's playing great basketball. They have a great chance to make a move.
Let's go to the sixth line. Salika, I'm going to reveal all four of the six seeds for you here. We've got UCLA, Ole Miss, Missouri, and there's that BYU team rising fast.
Yeah, there's two teams headed in completely opposite directions here. BYU, they're getting white hot right now. Missouri, they're going in completely the wrong direction, because it seems like if they're not throwing potential bubble teams life rafts, they're just not looking as great on senior day against a Kentucky team that suddenly looking like they could be on the two line themselves. But you look at Missouri, they'll still be waiting for their first opponent in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, Griggs, I was just a couple weeks ago ready to make a case for Missouri as a protected seed. And this three-game losing streak, I'm off of that bandwagon completely now.
I kind of am too, and I was beating Missouri's drum probably before most people, and I don't know if I – you know, I had them on the fringe of a protected seed, but 3-7 in true road games, albeit one of them is an outstanding road win, but they just haven't done – in my opinion, as much as the teams that we have ahead of them. I actually had BYU ahead of them. I love what they're doing. This BYU team is just on fire right now.
Yeah. The rest of the line here, Tytel, we also saw UCLA and Ole Miss come in here. I think we got these about right.
Yes, Chad. Okay. I think that Kentucky, Missouri would be a nice conference matchup. I forget if that's the first all SEC game we've got on the schedule at the moment, but I'd be excited to see that one. And then you get the BYU Texas Tech Big 12. Is it a problem for you squeezing in these conference versus conference games, or is it working out okay so far?
It's so far it's okay, but if these teams meet up again in their conference tournaments, these are gonna be a lot harder to bracket. But so far they're permissible, because those two teams only played once during the regular season. The rules do change if they meet again. But let's go over to the Joby, to the 7 line. All four of these teams here, we've got Marquette, Memphis, Louisville, and Illinois.
I actually think two of the teams are underrated for their seed line. I think one is overrated. The two that I think are underrated, Louisville's underrated by just a tad. I think they deserve to be on the six line, but it's really Illinois. I think the way Illinois has turned it back. They are just, if they had made this turnaround a week earlier, I think everybody in the group would have had them maybe as high as a 5. I am very strong on what Illinois has done, especially lately. Maybe, you know, recency bias is getting to me, but this is a very good team the way it's playing right now. I am, and in Louisville, I'm sure they were near the top of the 7 line for us.
They were the top, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, 6, 7, I think they're a 6. I think they're the middle of the 6 line, like 2 or 3rd, but that's just a couple of spots on a seed list. Illinois, I think, is way ahead of that. I think they're ahead of even teams that we had on the 6 that we didn't discuss, like St. Mary's, who I'm not bashing. I'm just saying that's a credit to Illinois, not a hit on St. Mary's, why say.
Well, wait a minute, Joby, the J&G, I don't know if you know much about that metric or not. I mean, I don't know how you do the deep dives, has them at 25, which is a 7 seed. Now, maybe you just don't care about metrics like the J&G, and maybe you don't pay attention to them, but this is where Louisville belongs.
Well, and maybe, Griggs, you would know that I was talking about Illinois. Which,
well, you said Louisville was underseeded. They're right there at 25.
Oh, yeah, but I was discussing in the last few sentences Illinois, which
you have no idea how many weeks I've been waiting to pull that one out.
5 seed, so yeah. And I will say ACC teams do underperform in the J&G precisely because of the weakness of the conference. Duke right now in the J&G is 4th. We all know they're 2 overall. Clemson is at the bottom of the 5 line. Louisville is on the 7. That is one area where the J&G is off this year, I think. I think they're off. I think the J&G is underrating ACC teams for where their seed is and should be.
Matt, real quick, the other two teams in this line were Marquette and Memphis. You are our Marquette guy, and your team is kind of heading in the wrong direction right now.
Yeah, a bunch of – the only one bad loss in Villanova, that was one where they couldn't miss a 3. So you have a game or two like that every year. It's like, not playing bad. We're in the game both late and late at UConn. They hit a caravan 3 that put it away. And then it didn't say, John, you lost at the buzzer in overtime. I mean, even at home, it's not a bad loss. But the accumulation is hurting a little bit, so I think 7 line is exactly where Marquette should be at the moment. in that. But it also wouldn't stun me if Marquette won a game or two in the Big East tournament. Instead of falling maybe to the eight, they climbed to, say, the six or even the five if they made the finals.
Dorman, I got to ask you a question. There's a team that we have not yet seen in this field that I don't know why they're not here yet, because I would have had them in already. Where are the Kansas Jayhawks?
Not here, and I agree with it. Okay. This team has underperformed almost all of the year, and I agree. Every team that has gone in ahead of them deserves to be going in ahead of them.
All right, well, let me stick with you here, because they obviously are on the eight line, which I thought they would be closer to the six line, honestly. But we got them along with UConn, Mississippi State, and Gonzaga here on the eight line. Your thoughts on that?
UConn, Mississippi State, Gonzaga. No veto. I like that. It's a strong eight line. The one seeds aren't going to be thrilled with this. But Gonzaga, there's the resume is difficult to interpret. Maybe we're overrating them a little because it's Gonzaga, and if it was a different name on that, we wouldn't be giving them such a pass. San Diego State is on the cut line right there, in or out, could go either way. That's really the only win they have against the tournament field. Baylor on a neutral. I'm sorry. Oh, and two more: Baylor and Indiana. I could see Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga gets seated right where we have them, eight or nine, no doubt about it. That's a strong eight line. I agree with all of it.
Yeah, one of the things about Gonzaga is, well, there's a couple points here. If you can go back to them real quick, Chad. If you're listening, it won't matter. But their predictive metrics are through the roof, and their merit metrics not so good. I've heard multiple committee members reference how they've been looking at the WAB, the wins against bubble, and view it as an important metric. Gonzaga 43rd, which is right around the bubble, but you know, when you look at their KenPom and their predictive, they're off the charts good. So I don't recall a team with this much of a discrepancy between the predictive and the merit at this point in the year ever. I just don't know what this is a hard team to place. And if you average it all out there in eight, I guess.
Well, that's why Joby had him out and Matt had him on the two line. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But Mike, let me go back to you here. I'm going to reveal the nine seeds, and these are the potential first round matchups here. Kansas is going to get New Mexico. UConn gets Georgia, who's rising up again. Wow. Mississippi State gets Creighton, and the Zags get Vanderbilt. Your thoughts on those four teams?
That's about where they should be. I had Vanderbilt as the 37th team only because their non-conference strength of schedule is very soft, but still, that this is about right. Georgia's playing really well. I mean, you know, it wasn't like a couple weeks ago they were on the cut line, and now they've zoomed up all the way to the nine line. If I'm the eight seed teams, I would not want to play these teams. These are tough outs.
Yeah, and Sleek, when you look at that, both these teams now have that winning record against the top three tiers that we've been talking about all season. Weak non-conference strength of schedule, but when you add in the SEC schedule, we got 18 and 22 overall, don't we?
Yeah, Vandy had been sliding a little bit after they made their push the week before, but they're still in pretty good shape. It's Georgia who's suddenly on a four-game winning streak, where it's probably more important for them that they now have the over 500 record in the top three tiers, at least.
Yeah, Matt, they've got that neutral court win against St. John's, which stands out, much like Vandy's at A&M win stand out.
Yeah, that's where you both wins away from home against protected seed level teams. And I had Georgia on the nine line too. I like this. They've moved up to where, hey, at 4-10, I'm like, you don't belong with that conference record, and you're also three games under 500 against me in meaningful games. All of a sudden, you win four in a row. You're a respectable 8-10 in the SEC, and that curve, put it with a little bit of a curve, that's like 10-8 in the average major conference. And then also you're now 12-11 in meaningful games, and suddenly you go from being out to being on the nine line.
Yeah, and this is why we're heading towards a ton of SEC, towards that 13 SEC teams. Not quite there yet, but Joby, the 10 line. We've got Marquette taking on Utah State, Memphis gets West Virginia, Louisville gets Baylor, and the Illini get the automatic bid-winning Drake Bulldogs.
Yeah, that's just brutal for Illinois.
Yeah. I mean, that's well for Drake.
I mean, and Drake gets no. I think you heard me. I think Illinois is the best team on that seven line. So I'm sorry, Drake. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's who I'm sorry for.
Yeah, but because I, yeah, if you
you couldn't have given him Marquette.
Drake, if you put Drake up against Memphis, Marquette, sorry, Matt, and possibly even Louisville, Drake, I'd be very tempted in a bracket to pick Drake. Against Illinois, I might, is where I'd probably stop. But, yeah, I think Drake deserves this. They're at 30 wins now. They, you heard me over and over again on Drake, and my point was yesterday when they beat Bradley, I truly believe they were playing for not only a 10 seed with a win, which is what they got here, but they were going to be out if they lost. And we'll never know. I'm glad we'll never know because I think Drake's a good team and deserves a spot in the field.
What about this Baylor team? And, you know, here they are sitting Dorman with that 12 and 13 versus the top three tiers. Are they in big danger if they lose their first game in the Big 12 tournament?
They'll be a nervous pack of bears over the weekend if they do, because they are not playing their greatest basketball of the season. They had real high hopes on this season. The resume there's a little to be, the resume isn't really there all that great to me. They have a great St. John's on a neutral win, a great game against Kansas at home, Arkansas. Okay. We're probably on the cut line. That's about it. There are some teams this week that if they get hot in these power conferences that we're about to see in the next line or two, if they get hot, they can move up and Baylor could get real nervous over the weekend. I suggest the Baylor Bears win a game or two. They'll feel much better.
Well, their first game, they're going to play the winner of K-State, Arizona State on Wednesday.
Cannot lose. They cannot lose that game. That would be a disaster.
After that, they'll get Texas Tech. I think they can lose that game. Because
I agree.
But if they win that game, I think they're a lock at that point also.
Yeah, probably. Yes. They're also at the, you know, at the risk of bid stealers. We don't know how many there will be. You don't want to be caught in that mess there. Baylor should win a little bit. Definitely the first. Two would be safe. I agree.
I'm really underwhelmed by this Baylor team. I realize that they've battled injuries, but it's just that, like, when there isn't anything else to measure their performance with their injuries as opposed to without it, then you just kind of got to go with what's there. They do have the win against St. John's and that MTE on a, I think it was a mid-court shot or whatever it was that went in. But they haven't really looked that good, barely beating Arkansas. The home win against Kansas is not a good road team. So you got to take those with a grain of salt. Cincinnati and West Virginia are even worse road teams. And when they've played, with the exception of that, maybe the couple games against Houston, they've just haven't looked good at all.
Well, that's
Houston this week, though. Yeah.
That's why Greg's – Yeah, yep. Griggs, I would have said Baylor to Dayton. None of you agreed with me on that, but
I had him at 42.
Yeah, that just avoids Dayton, though.
Okay, it does. All right.
Yeah. In fact, let's go ahead and go to the next line here. Tytel, let me bring you back in here. I'm going to reveal three of the teams on the 11 line. Three teams that our last three teams above the first four. We had Indiana, Arkansas, and UC San Diego by the voting would have come in above the first four, believe it or not.
I do believe it because everybody loves them, and like Rocco might have them as a five seed these days. But, I'm telling you, you're not going to like my conference tourney preview tomorrow because I am not picking them to win their own conference tourney. And if they don't, unless somebody feels strongly about this team, I don't think they're making it in without winning the tournament.
Agreed, Tytel. As much as I like this team, the reality is they're not it's what I was saying about Drake. You know, except they're going to still be an 11 if they win out. I know it's not popular on this under the radar group, but I don't think UCSD gets a bid without winning.
Mike, what about the other two teams that we got in Arkansas and Indiana? Do you agree that they're both in and above the first four at the moment?
Yes, partly because when I was doing the 50 list of 55, I'm like, man, this bottom of the bubble is really rough. But the thing is, Yeah, these teams that they've done just enough to make the cut. So I mean, I had both of those teams at the 11 line. Arkansas has got some nice ones. I see at Kentucky, a neutral court win against Michigan. Don't have any bad losses. They do have six tier one wins. I mean, for an 11 seed, that's pretty good. Indiana's got the win at Sparty. I think that saved them. Without that win, I don't think they would make the field. But Indiana, all their losses are against tier one teams. They just have a lot of them. That's the problem.
Agreed. Let's go ahead and reveal the last spot here on the 11 line. Saliga, let me bring you back in. Playing in Dayton, it is San Diego State versus Xavier.
Ooh. He'll
Yeah,
take it.
I had a feeling you'd probably be putting us against a Mountain West team either way, but that's also a dangerous sign for the Aztecs right there. This is another team that's fallen precipitously in the Mountain West, and they cannot afford an early exit in Vegas, though.
No, they
Who's to say the
can't.
Boise State San
And
Diego
they
State could be an elimination game?
could be.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
There's not going to be four Mountain West teams. There really won't,
There's gonna be six. We've
but
been
there
over
will
this.
be three. There will be three, barring a Colorado State winning it, which would mean four.
But of course, the good news is for whichever Mountain West team does make it, you'll be playing in front of a home crowd in Dayton because you know Flyer fans are not pulling for the Musketeers in this one. No way.
I'd hope you guys would travel, Stalika. It's not that far.
I'm sorry,
It's
guys.
not
I got
far,
to miss.
but we would only be allotted so many tickets.
Yeah, and Xavier fans refuse to go to Dayton.
It's
So,
called StubHub. Dude. Actually, I thought it
how
was called SeatGeek.
far of a drive is it? Is it 40 minutes, 45 minutes?
45 minutes at
35 minutes.
most.
Oh, my lack of sympathy. I had the Musketeers, I think, above the first four. You're making me think I should have had them there just to punish them.
So I'd much rather get wins against Matt's Marquette team and a win in the Big East semis to m render that a moot conversation.
Matt, let me go to you here for the last two teams that made our field. It's on the 12 line there. I believe it's in the East region. Yeah, it is. Oklahoma and Boise State. There is another Mountain
Oklahoma,
West team.
which I support. As you saw my
Okay.
top 55, I very much don't support Oklahoma because I think 6-12 in conference, even the SEC, should be disqualifying. That's just as disqualifying to me as being two or more under 500 in the top three quadrants.
Tytel, is that should that be disqualifying 6-12 in conference?
Yes, I think that correct me if I'm wrong, I think the record for most games under 500 in conference play for a team to be an at-large is four.
Yes, Baylor, but they did get a 9 seed. And
So
was
if
Vanderbilt 400 once and got in, or am I
No,
imagining
they
that?
were like they're actually like 10-8 SEC that 1915
All right,
game.
yeah.
Florida State was also 6-10 in the ACC back in 1998, but still managed to get in because they had like an insane non-conference strength of schedule that year.
Okay. Don't remember that one, but all right.
That was a
Okay.
team that lost to Valpo in the second round.
Oh, all right. Well.
Bobby Sura. Bobby Sura.
That was after Bobby Sura and
Oh,
Sam
what? Okay.
Cassell.
All right. But anyway, continue, Tytel.
No, just that I'm a big fan of history, Chad, and if nobody's ever done it, I would be hard pressed to have Oklahoma this year be the first to ever do it.
But nobody's ever had a conference like this year's SEC either.
You're right, which is why it's possible, but I think that other teams, it also depends, like, if Oklahoma makes a little run, or who would their opening game be? Do we know in the SEC tourney?
The
Yes.
SEC tourney opening game. Do you have that, Dorman?
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now. They
I
have,
agree.
believe
All right.
it's Georgia, which would be a good win and might be enough to put them over the hump.
Okay. Taita, I do have to ask, you've been selecting Oklahoma.
Yes, as have most of the people in the Matrix, so I'm not going out on a huge limb on my own. I
Okay.
had been trying to push Texas a week or two ago, but I think that ship has sailed for now. But like, I mean, they just have so much quality wins. They cannot buy an SEC win. But as Chad says, it's hard to get an SEC win this year because it's the best conference in the history of the world.
Yeah,
Georgia opens against Oklahoma. So Georgia, Oklahoma in the
that's a
first round, winner gets Kentucky. That's a big first game.
Go Dogs.
Well, and the question is, you know, Chad, who's that first team out? Because I think a lot of us are rooting for at least one bid steal.
Before I get to that, let me show the rest of the 12 line here real quick. Well, one other team on the 12 line, I'm sorry. Because by the voting, we would have all had VCU actually sandwiched in between the first four. So before we even get to the first team out, right now it actually would be VCU if they don't get the A-10 bid. But, you know, I guess the question is, Sleek, can VCU stay up there if they don't win the A-10 tournament?
Ooh, they better at least make it to the championship game right here, because I don't think they want to be taking a chance of potentially losing early.
Dead on. They got to go to the finals.
Yeah, I got a big problem here when I look at the profile. I love the 25-6. Where is a win over anybody that's in this field?
There isn't one. And if you're on the bubble, that is not a good thing to be missing.
If Merrimack wins the Metro Atlantic tournament, that would be their win over the field, I think. That's the only team with a shot to make the field that they've beaten.
Well, let me correct you. If Colorado State wins the Mountain West,
that would be another bid. Yes, another
team would move the needle a little bit more, but not by much.
Well, the interesting thing on that, though, I think both Colorado State and Dayton will be among the last. I don't think they're in, but among the last eight, we wouldn't vote them off the board probably. So, like, they're on the board. They're not in the field, but they are on the board.
I was holding my nose. You're right, Matt, because like I was like, are you, does Chad really need 55?
It was tough to get to 55. I saw some names there that I could not believe. But now let me ask Joby's question from earlier. Top four teams out. Joby, it was North Carolina number one, followed by Ohio State, Colorado State, and UC Irvine. So I don't know who you put in instead of the teams we put in, and I don't like the teams we put in.
If you're the real committee, the chairman would have an opinion.
Yeah, let's talk about Carolina.
I'm
and
just
Joby.
Leaving it there.
Let's wait, the fourth ACC team or the 13th SEC team?
Yeah. Carolina has a chance to open their first game in the ACC tournament against Pitt. If they lose, they are done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I think they got to beat Wake in the second round. Also,
yeah.
Though, Dorman.
Very. I think they might need to beat Duke. That
might be a play in play out game. The Wake Carolina.
I think the winner has to
all
beat
of a sudden
Duke.
You give Wake a nice win that they need. Ironically, so.
We've got also here, Mike. Let me ask you about Ohio State, because inexplicably, I'm seeing a lot of bracketologists still with this team in the field that is 11-14 in games against the top three quadrants, and 17-14 overall. I mean, clearly, if they lose to Iowa, they're done. But beyond that, is this team really an NCAA tournament team still?
Only because the bottom of the bubble is really bad. You got to pick 37 at-large teams. I noticed that too. A lot of bracketologists that picked Ohio State in. I think they're among the first four out. They do have a lot of quality wins.
But 14 losses is
just too many. And if you're talking about an at-large team, that means the 15th loss is implicit. That means they would lose sometime during the conference tournament. That's just way too many losses.
I take issue, Griggs, with everyone saying that they have a lot of good wins. Yes, they beat Maryland at home. They beat Kentucky neutral. That was good. They won at Purdue. That was great. The other three quad one wins are not against good teams. Their quad two wins are not against good teams. Their quad three wins are not against good teams. I think that they have three wins, and there's teams that aren't even near the bubble that have three decent wins on the season. Kansas State has three good wins. TCU has three good wins.
Yeah, that was well articulated, and if the committee members are watching, I hope they hear you.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, I appreciate dialogue on how bad Ohio State is. I mean, anybody that can do that is okay in my book.
Real quick, a few other teams that did receive votes to be in top 55, not in, but on the top 55 at least. Matt, we saw Texas, Wake Forest, Dayton, San Francisco, SMU, George Mason, Villanova, North Texas. I mean, that shows you how far down we're getting to even get 55 teams.
Yeah, that's where and even with my stringent rules of disqualifying teams like Ohio State and Oklahoma, that means I got to put in someone like a Dayton or I think I had North Texas right at the bottom. I definitely had San Francisco on my thing.
I think you were the one vote for Villanova, also the one and only.
No,
vote
I
for
don't think did I don't think I
oh,
had Nova.
I have Villanova.
Oh, no, that was Joby. Sorry about that.
I have Villanova. Yeah, they were my 55th.
Yeah, that's where. Listen, you. It's funny. You won at Georgetown. You might have Oklahoma's place for me in the field. You don't win that game. That's one of those one too many that straw broke the camel's back, and they're all of a sudden they're basically done for me too. They're the same as
well,
Ohio
so
State and Oklahoma.
I had Villanova and not SMU. Who put SMU there? Come on. I know they were winning.
There were two people. Stalika and Mike both had SMU in their top 55.
I had to pick somebody.
Exactly. I don't blame you. They were 56 for me, so hey.
Yeah.
I might have been influenced by watching Pony Excess at the time.
Such a good 30 for 30.
Yeah,
it is. I almost wonder, though, the question, is there anybody beyond that, beyond the top four with a shot to actually get into the field at the moment, short of winning an automatic bid? I'm not certain that there really is.
Wake is the one for me.
Wake, you think of, if they beat Carolina and Duke. Yeah.
The guy got through Duke. So, yeah.
If you, Texas were to make the final, they would be right there. I'm not saying I'm putting them in, but Texas would be spoken about a lot if they were to get to a final here.
The only thing I'd say about Texas, Dorman, is, you know, they're even worse against those top three tiers than Ohio State, although they have five wins against the field as opposed to three at least, so that's a little better.
I wouldn't put them in, but if they got to the SEC final, they just picked up three really good wins. So
that under 500 record gets a lot closer, and you're at likely three insane tournament wins. That's eight wins against the field.
You'd be four really good wins, I believe, because you'd be at a very good win starting.
They'd start with Vandy, then they'd beat A&M, then they'd beat Tennessee, and then they'd get Auburn. Those are three really good wins. They'll be talked about if that's the situation.
Yeah, if they do all
Tennessee
that.
Tennessee by itself would be against a possible number one seed. I'd have to think we'd be on the good side.
I'm sorry. I will say we are talking about what this Texas team has done and what they look like lately. They're not getting past Vanderbilt if they just show anything they've done.
Vandy isn't so safely in. I would advise even Vandy play a motivated game there. Let's not let rest it, because with that conference race of schedule, you get down into that bubble discussion, you might be having a miserable time.
You don't want to – when your non-conference is over 300, you don't want to be anywhere near the bubble. You don't want to be on that 11 line, because then you get looked at very differently.
You lose to Texas, you're probably at least on the 10 line, and you're in that the start of that discussion, because even the 10s are not super safely in, and they're not voted in on the first ballot.
Let's take a quick look at the other two 12 seeds here. First of all, Oregon gets McNeese, and Arizona. Ooh. Titel, you were afraid you're getting Yale. You actually get that Liberty team, though, who's going to be our Conference USA champion and is probably more dangerous than Yale. Sorry, Titel.
That, believe me, I'm not sorry one bit. I'd rather play like Auburn than Yale, because I've seen us play Ivy League teams and it did not go well in the past.
yeah, real quick, I'm going to run through the rest of these teams, 13 through 16 lines. We've got on the 13 line, we've got Clemson gets Akron. Purdue gets a dangerous high point team.
There's a Wisconsin-Yale.
Wisconsin-Yale, a fascinating game.
Oh, man.
Maryland gets Utah Valley there. On the 14 line, A&M, they get UNC Wilmington, who is looks like they're on the way to the CAA championship game right now. Iowa State gets Northern Colorado. Kentucky gets Troy, who just won the Sun Belt Championship. Congrats to the Trojans. And Texas Tech gets a bit of a dangerous Lipscomb team, but Lipscomb, I think, will be over their head in that one a little bit. On the 15 line, Michigan State gets Wofford. That's your SoCon champion tonight. I did have them coming in the 15 line still, despite being a 6 seed in their conference tournament. Tennessee gets Central Connecticut. Alabama gets Morris Robert. Yeah. I'm sorry, Robert Morris. And the Johnnies get an Omaha team. I think if that actually happened, I called this last night, I think that's a live wire Omaha team that is going to push somebody. Not win, but push somebody.
Yeah.
And finally, the 16 line. Auburn gets the winner of a Southern Quinnipiac game. Duke gets the winner of the Edwardsville-Omaha game. Houston gets Bryant. Florida gets Norfolk State. On that note, I want to run through each of you for any final thoughts on anything you want to discuss, including this bracket or anything else. And Matt, let me start with you.
This would have a little bit of Puppet inspiration, a little bit of Rocco inspiration. I would actually, if this held true, there's no Bit Thieves, I'm pounding the table for UC Irvine. It's how hard it is to win 14 road games on that. These bubble teams haven't done anything very impressive. Winning 14 road games in a pretty decent conference where it includes a win at UC San Diego. I want something impressive, and that would be impressive to me. Like, I could pull my head for UC Irvine where, like, I would really hold my nose for, say, Oklahoma.
I just heard Matt make an argument for a team with a 95 BPI and a 65 KenPom. This is a new first for us here. Yeah. At HD. Joby, you're up.
Yeah, it's very interesting when you look at the one lines and the eight lines. Which one has more preseason number ones on it from the J&G? Unfortunately, it's the eight line with Connecticut, Kansas, and Gonzaga.
We got to go back and watch that preseason. Yeah,
luckily, Duke was on the one line too. So there's one saving grace there. And Houston wasn't far. But yeah, no, it just goes to show that it's fun to see it all play out. And if this is true, and I think this is what the eight line pretty much is going to look like. I don't think there's going to be a ton of shifting here. And wow, the talent level on that eight line. They have, yes, the ones are better, but they have an eight line. They're not going to be run out based on talent, maybe based on organization or some other component. But these teams, these eights, especially those three that I named, if I'm Florida, I don't want to play Gonzaga. You know, if I'm Duke, I don't want to play UConn. Yeah. So those could be some really great round of 32 games if they came to fruition.
It could be. Mike.
Yeah, I'm with Joby. I mean, I think after you get past the first handful of teams or so, the separation is very small. So that's part of the reason why the eight seeds are very strong teams. They could easily be a seven. I mean, or even a six. So that's why, they're very strong teams. And if you're a number one seed, you know that you're not going to have an easy matchup in the second round. I'm just anxious to see if there's going to be any bid stealers. If you're in the bottom of the bubble among the last four in, you got to be nervous as heck, because if a team comes in and steals a bid, that means a bubble is going to burst. So watch out, San Diego State, Xavier, those type of teams, Oklahoma, Boise State. And like I said before, I think the San Diego State Boise State game, that's essentially an elimination game. I don't see both teams making the field, but I'm really excited for the upcoming days here.
Yeah, given what we saw at the bottom of the bubble, I'm kind of hoping for some bid stealers here, honestly. But Dorman, you're up next.
Yeah, this is a topic where there's plenty of differing opinion, but I'm going to go with grinding out it, for the SEC and the Big Ten teams that are safely in the field, grinding out another weekend of brutal, rough, tough play in their conference tournament, where your game, the Big Ten and the SEC, the championships are on Sunday night. That is late. And then you got to start to get home. And then you got to start to worry about to get to your sites by Monday or Tuesday. I know coaches will never say, I don't want to win a title. I don't want to play for a championship. But sometimes it's just easier to have a loss and go home on Thursday, go home on Friday, instead of grinding out and losing your legs over the weekend when your main goal is to win a national championship. And just some, like in the SEC tournament last year, Tennessee lost to Mississippi State. They were the one seed. They lost to Miss State in the first game, went on to the Elite Eight to play Purdue in a game that they could have went to the Final Four. Alabama was the three seed. They lost to Florida in the first round. They went on to the Final Four. I just believe it's better to get out of there with your legs, with everything. These teams have beaten all the teams in the conference. You're getting away from your conference finally. I like to have a team that's ready to go, that's not exhausted, that didn't play three games or four games in 4 days. And I just think you're well-rested and more ready to make a run for the next week.
I'll just throw in here, Dorman. What you said that coaches don't say it, actually John Calipari says exactly
yeah,
that. He says he does not care, doesn't even want to win it. As a result, his teams just tend to play a little looser in these conference tournaments and do win it.
And then look how well they've played in the NCAA tournament recently.
He should get looser in the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. He should not care about that one either. Yeah, Stalica.
You look at the possible matchups in Lexington right here. Tickets would already be expensive enough with the Alabama and Auburn fans getting in there, but you add Louisville and Kansas in there, it gets even more insane. Of course, the other problem for Kansas fans is they were probably pre-buying tickets for Wichita, but as you can see right there, Texas Tech and Houston are going to be the ones lined up. But to add on to Joby's point from earlier, I don't think Houston should be overlooking a possible Creighton matchup in the second round because of the Blue Jays can go inside and outside with Ashworth and Kalkbrenner and get one or two guys getting hot from three. Oof, that would be very nerve-wracking for the Cougars right there.
Great also. Tytel.
One comment on a bracket matchup and one comment on a bracket team. The West Region 4-5 Maryland, Arizona. If I can take you back to 2001, that should have been the championship game. Maryland was destroying Duke in the first half in the first semifinal, in the final four. I know because I was there in Minneapolis. And then Duke came all the way back and ruined their season. And Arizona beat Michigan State, and then the final didn't go well for me. But that's okay. It'd be fantastic to see it again, even though a long trip to Seattle for the Terps. As far as Chad penciling in UNCW, which I think is the right move as of this moment, I'm telling you, like, Delaware shouldn't be here in the final, but they are. And if you want to do, I want to do a quick thing. So if you look at last year's title in the CAA won by Pat Kelsey, and he ended up getting a big deal to coach an ACC team. I'm not predicting it. All I'm saying is that Martin Inglesby, the Delaware coach, went to college at a little school called Notre Dame, who's in the ACC. And Notre Dame's coach, Micah Shrewsbury, is on his second year with a losing record. I'm not calling it, but if it happens, you heard it here first.
There we go. To Delaware, also, interestingly enough, on the way to Conference USA next year. This is their last ever CAA games. I did want to throw this out here, Tytel, a little history. We did look at see if a 12 seed ever won a conference tournament before. We are pretty confident they have not. Georgia basically would have been the 11 seed. They were an East 6 seed when they won the SEC tournament. I still think what Holy Cross did in 2016, when they were a 9 seed out of 10 teams in the Patriot League and won four consecutive true road games, is more impressive even than what Delaware did. This is probably the second most impressive they pulled off, though. Griggs, you want to finish the show out?
Yeah. In looking at this, this time of year, it's on. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there is a fair amount of bracketology out there. If you're looking for it, you can find it. 100 or 200 or 300 people are doing it. And I don't know. There were years that I thought that I could probably do a good job of guessing the committee, but this isn't one of, based on who was on it and what they'd done recently and what the trends were. But this year, there's 7 of the 12 members were not on it last year. They're doing it for the first time. There's new metrics that are there this year that are fairly new. They've only been around for a couple of years. I've heard a lot of committee members reference those, particularly the WAB, and but even still, I think that it's kind of funny for me to hear some people brag about how accurate they are, that they got 66 out of 68 right or whatever it is. Well, 31 of them are auto bids, and rarely do I get fewer than 29 of the 31 auto bids myself. If anybody misses one of the – so that's 31 right there. If anybody misses that, you're just a complete fool. And then as far as the next 37, pick your metric or poll of your choice, whether it's the net, the AP poll, the wins against board, the strength of record, and just go down and pick the next 37. You're bound to get at least 30 of them right. So any idiot that doesn't even know how many halves are in a game could guess 61 of the 68. And with that in mind, 61 of the 68, 62 of the 68 are going to be the same no matter who's on the committee or what the points of emphasis are. And for that reason, I, especially when you look at the teams that we selected on the bubble and the teams that we left out, especially if you're from a power conference, I just don't feel sorry for anybody that gets left out. I do feel a little bit of remorse if UC San Diego doesn't get in, because I felt like that they're just at a big circumstantial disadvantage. And for them to win like they did and win some of the games that they did, I think that they should get included. But even if they don't, like, everybody is good enough to play their way and be one of those 61, 62 teams that's in for sure. I just, okay. Yeah, that's the season.
They all are still, everybody on this board obviously is still alive. There's a lot of other teams that are still alive. Check out our survival board up there. We are updating that regularly. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We will be back later tonight with a Championship Week video notebook, and every night here on out with another video notebook. Next Monday, we'll be doing a Hoops HD report, recapping what the actual selections were and predicting what's going to happen and filling out a bracket even, and that's going to be 100% correct, more
right.
or less.
Yeah.
But on behalf of David Griggs, Matt Zukowski, Mike Cha, John Salika, David Dorman, John Tytel, Joby Fortson, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be talking to you again real soon.